Krishna Angri Padma.
Krishna Angri Padma.
Of the lotus feet of Lord Krishna. Madhu, the honey. Leet, one who licks. Na, not. Punaha,
again.
Vishrishta,
already renounced.
Maya guneshu, in the material modes of nature. Ramate,
desires to enjoy.
Rijjana avaheshu,
which brings distress.
Ramate,
desires to enjoy.
Rijjana avaheshu,
which brings distress.
Anyaha,
another.
Two,
however.
Kamahataha,
being enchanted by lust.
Atma Rajaha,
the sinful infection of the heart.
Pramarshtum,
to cleanse.
Eheta,
may perform.
Karma,
activities.
Yataha,
after which.
Eva,
indeed.
Rajaha,
the sinful activity.
Unaha,
again.
Syat,
appears.
Translation.
Devotees who always lick the honey from the lotus feet of Lord Krishna do not care at all for material activities, which are performed under the three modes of material nature and which bring only misery. Indeed, devotees never give up the lotus feet of Krishna to return to material activities. Others, however, who are addicted to Vedic rituals because they have neglected the service of the Lord's lotus feet and are enchanted by lusty desires, sometimes perform acts of atonement. Nevertheless, being incompletely purified, they return to sinful activities again and again. So you can repeat.
Devotees who always lick the honey.
From the lotus feet of Lord Krishna.
Do not care at all for material activities.
Which are performed under.
The three modes of material nature.
And which bring only misery.
Indeed, devotees never give up.
The lotus feet of Krishna.
To return to material activities.
Others, however, who were addicted to Vedic rituals,
because they have neglected the service
of the Lord's lotus feet
and are enchanted by lusty desires,
sometimes perform acts of atonement.
Nevertheless, being incompletely purified,
they return to sinful activities again and again.
So purport by His Divine Grace, A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami,
Srila Prabhupada, Srila Prabhupada Ki Jai.
A devotee's duty is to chant the Hare Krishna mantra.
One may sometimes chant with offenses and sometimes without offenses. But if one seriously adopts this process, he will achieve perfection, which cannot be achieved through Vedic ritualistic ceremonies of atonement. Persons who are attached to the Vedic ritualistic ceremonies but do not believe in devotional service, who advise atonement but do not appreciate the chanting of the Lord's holy name, fail to achieve the highest perfection. Devotees, therefore, being completely detached from material enjoyment, never give up Krishna consciousness for Vedic ritualistic ceremonies. Those who are attached to Vedic ritualistic ceremonies, because of lusty desires, are subjected to the tribulations of material existence again and again. Maharaj Parikshit has compared their activities to Kunjara Chotra, the bathing of an elephant. So, Krishnan Vipadma Manulinna Puna Vishvishta Maya Guneshu Ramate Vrijana Vaheshu Anyastukama hatatma raja pramarchtum
Ahihaita karma yata eva rajapuna shat.
So, Om Ganata Madandasha Gunanjana Shlakaya Chakshura Meditam Yena Tasmai Shukadeva Namaha.
So, of course, this answer by Shukadeva Goswami is the response to Maharaj's Parikshit. Maharaj Parikshit's refusing to accept atonement in the beginning of this particular canto of Srimad Bhagavatam, and refusing to accept that as a means for overcoming misery or overcoming sinful activities. So there's a verse in the Bhagavad Gita, Trigunya Vishaya Veda Nayis Trigunya Bhavarjuna Nirdwanvo Nitrushat Vishto Nir Yogakshema Atmavad. And it's a very interesting verse because it is addressed to Arjuna. It's Krishna addressing Arjuna. And Arjuna is giving many excuses why he can't directly follow the order of the Supreme Personality of Godhead, Krishna. And a lot of those excuses, perhaps most of them, are Vedic excuses. I mean, it has so many in the beginning, like if we kill the opposite side, the women won't be protected, therefore there'll be unwanted progeny, which is true. I mean, obviously the women should be protected and the progeny should be properly guided and protected and everything like that. We're not decrying the Vedic injunctions. We're not saying that they're wrong. But Krishna says, in response to all these excuses that Arjuna has given, he says, Trigunya Vishaya Veda, that the Vedas are mainly meant for the three modes of material nature, people in the three modes of material nature. Trigunya Vishaya Veda needs Trigunya Bhavarjuna. But Arjuna, you're supposed to rise above these modes of nature and be established in the self. Nir yogik shema atmavan. So in other words, be established in the self. So this instruction to Arjuna also applies to us, because we have seen that devotees sometimes do have a tendency to get into different rituals. Even if you go to a holy place, sometimes they get into all these different Vedic mantras, isn't it, Amal? And all these different procedures, and they dress in interesting ways. And you just ask, where's Hare Krishna? Oh, we'll do that at the end. You know, they forget that Prabhupada termed this movement the Hare Krishna movement. And they forget simple verses like what? Harinam, Harinam, Harinam Eva Kevalam. Kalonish Deva Nish Deva Nish Deva Gatiranitat. There is no other way. There is no other way. There ain't no other way. You know, just changing the English a little bit. So, you know, they forget it's a very simple process. You know, it's the KISS philosophy. Keep it simple, sadhu. And if you don't keep it simple, sadhu, then you're not so intelligent. Anyway, there's another S that refers to something else. So we actually forget, another point is we forget that the first rule of devotional service, according to Srila Rupa Goswami, is to always remember Krishna. And the second rule is to never forget Krishna. You know, it's a very simple process. And all the rules and regulations are applied in terms of those two rules. I mean, some rules are secondary. I mean, like, for example, not wearing blue or red in the temple room. Let's see if anyone's wearing blue or red. No one's wearing blue or red. Blue and red. You are in Maya. Blue and red. You know, Prabhupada was asked about it. He said, you know, don't get too much into these things. And it, you know, and if you get too much into, let's say, different details of the Hari Bhakti Vilas, which we mentioned before, mainly meant for preaching to ritualistic brahmas, you know, to get them somehow or other to come to Krishna consciousness. The injunctions are not bad. They're actually good injunctions. But they may not be, at least most of them are not really meant for us. They're meant to bring people to Krishna consciousness, like bridge preaching. You know, like here in North Carolina, we have Krishna West. So there's Krishna East, too, which is, you know, presenting Krishna consciousness according to rituals, so the people will come.
That's Krishna East, and there's Krishna West. And there's Krishna Brahminical, and there's Krishna Ritual. You know, we have all these different branches of our Hare Krishna movement, you know. Anyway, so, but the whole point is to get people to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, whatever it is, whatever trick, you know, by hook or by trick, book or by crook, get them to chant. Take a book. But the whole point is to get them to chant. I mean, whether you use this type of music or that type of music, it's really, that's not the essential thing. I mean, sometimes people get so much, even into the musical instruments, that the musical instruments take over the kirtan rather than the chanting, isn't it? You hear that so many times. They play the mridanga for like 2 hours and they forget to chant Hare Krishna. I mean, of course, sometimes they can get mridangas to chant Hare Krishna. I've heard of that. You've ever seen that? Yeah, in Bengal, they're actually so expert, you can go, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna, Hare Krishna. So that's bona fide. So if you can get your mridanga to chant Hare Krishna, you can play it for 2 hours. But most of us, you know, are barely able to just pound on the mridanga a little bit. So anyway, so the whole point is to bring people to chanting. So it's an interesting phenomena in general that people don't understand higher priorities and lower priorities. You know, what is more important, what is less important. And many times they sacrifice the more important things for the less important things, which is, you know, quite an interesting phenomenon. You'll find many stories in the Vedic history about that. I mean, for example, in Krishna's pastimes, you have these yajnik brahmanas who were, you know, they were performing their little sacrifices. They're getting ready to perform a sacrifice, and they were wearing all their little cute hats in order to do that. Rabbit hats. And they were wearing their hats and getting ready to perform a sacrifice, and then Krishna got hungry. And he said to his coward boyfriends, you know, you go and ask some food from these brahmanas, because it's the appropriate time. It's right before the sacrifice. The food is not yet contaminated by the sacrifice. So go. And because these ritualistic brahmanas are so damn ritualistic, Krishna said, just ask in the name of Balaram instead of my name. Because, you know, at least Balaram was a Kshatriya and Krishna was a Vaishya, so ordinarily you're not supposed to give charity to Kshatriyas either. But at least, you know, it's better to give charity to Kshatriyas than to Vaishyas. Because according to what you were talking yesterday in class, Vaishyas have unlimited desires. Did you know that? That's actually described in the Bhagavatam. One of the qualities of a Vaishnava, is that he has unlimited desires. He's never satisfied. You can tell if you've gone to a Vaishya's house, or, you know, someone who's inclined to his Vaishya, because he has everything in his house. You know, sometimes we've seen, you know, someone's into guitar playing, they'll have like 25, 30 guitars, or 30 cars in their garage. Even so, with one person who used to be a guru in our Krishna Consciousness Movement, he had like 150 guitars and 20 cars in his garage. So, because of Vaishya, the quality is passion and ignorance. He's interested in just acquiring things, you know. So jewelry, you know, his wife will have at least like 20 earrings on each ear. That's a Vaishya. So therefore that's why you need Varnashram to keep the Vaishyas in check so they don't become too crazy. So anyway, so Krishna was a Vaishya. Of course, Krishna didn't have unlimited material desires. He has unlimited spiritual desires. That's why he's a Vaishya. So, unlimited spiritual desires to bring us all back to Godhead. So Krishna anyway said, ask in the name of Balaram. So they went to these ritualistic brahmanas, and the brahmanas basically ignored them. They didn't even acknowledge their presence. I mean, can you imagine someone comes to your house and you just ignore them? And this is how ritualistic they were. They were coming in the name of God, you know, Balaram, and they just ignored them. So they got a reaction for that. Because later on, when Krishna sent the coward boys back to ask in his name rather than Balaram's name, the brahmana's wives ignored them. You understand? That was the Krishna conscious reaction. That if you ignore Krishna, then your wife will ignore you. So anyway, if you want your wife to pay attention to you, you got to pay attention to Krishna. So the point is, anyway, so then the ritualistic brahmanas watched as their wives walked away with all the ingredients for sacrifice to offer to Krishna and Balaram. And later on, the ritualistic brahmanas realized they had made a mistake. Still, they didn't have enough faith in Krishna and Krishna's holy name to actually go to see Krishna because they were afraid of Kamsa. They thought, you know, if we go to see Krishna, then maybe Kamsa will read about it on Facebook and then he'll find out that we, you know, because they didn't have Facebook in those days. But then Kamsa will find out and then we'll be in big trouble. And, you know, Kamsa had a habit of killing Brahmins too. He wasn't exactly a Vedic personality. He even tried to attack Narada Muni one time. So there's a story that illustrates how people didn't get their priorities right. And even, you know, you had Lord Chaitanya, who appointed Haridas Thakur as the Namacharya to show people what the right priorities were, isn't it? I mean, he could have appointed like some high class Saraswata Brahmin as the Namacharya. He easily could have done that. Because he had so many associates who were from, you know, high-class backgrounds, like Mukunda and others were very high-class Brahminical backgrounds. Gadadhar Pandit, Goswami. But instead, he chose someone from a lower-class background, which shocked the bejesus out of people. You know, it was really shocking. You have to understand India and the, you know, ritualistic caste system. I mean, really, it's bad now, but it was 100 times worse 500 years ago. I mean, that even if you, a Shudra or Malacha, what to speak of a Muslim, stepped on your shadow and you were a Brahmin, I mean, that was it. I mean, he was probably tortured, killed, whatever, if he happened to even step on a Brahmin shadow. I remember when I first joined the movement, they taught me this ritual, you're not supposed to step on another devotee's shadow. And I said, this can make life very difficult for me. Can you imagine that? Not supposed to step on the guru's shadow. So we're going on morning walk with Prabhupada. And the sun, you know, the sun in the morning is very low in the horizon. You got big shadows. So that would mean that all the devotees would have to be like 200 meters away from Prabhupada. You have to not step on his shadow. You have all these different rituals that people get into and they forget to chant. I mean, like snapping their fingers when they yawn, or, I mean, there's all these different rituals, or when you're apologizing, holding your ears. You ever see that in India? I apologize if I'm getting down like that. Oh, yeah, like that. Yeah, you cross your arms, that's right. You gotta cross your arms, I forgot that, sorry about that. So, holding your ears and getting down, I mean, and what about chanting Hare Krishna, you know? And going to the astrologers. Oh, I'm in my Sannyas period. You know, I can't chant Hare Krishna so nicely now. You know, better I just enjoy life and break all the regular principles. But in 5 years from now, I'm going to be a good devotee. When my Saturn period is over, you know, then comes Jupiter. Then I got it made. You know, but you may die in your Saturn period, so that's a problem. So Chaitanya Mahaprabhu, understanding the whole social context, he appointed Haridas Thakur as the Namacharya to show the higher priority, to show that all these other things, you know, they're just not important. You know, what caste you're born in and all these rituals and everything. Obviously, Haridas Thakur didn't do any rituals because he wasn't born in a Brahminical family. So, strictly speaking, he wasn't allowed to do Vedic rituals. I mean, like we know, there's different types of initiation. There's the Vedic initiation, there's Pancharatrik initiation, and there's Bhagavat Vidhi. You know, Bhagavat initiation. So we got those three things, you know. Vedic, which we in the Krishna Conscious Movement don't get Vedic initiation. You know, Vedic initiation is into all these different rituals. And then Pancharatriki is to do the deity worship, which is very nice. And that helps us remember Krishna, focus on the holy names. Deity worship is essential, Prabhupada said, to help us focus on the holy names. Because remember, the holy names are the primary point. And then you have Bhagavat Vidhi, which is the holy name and Krishna Katha. Your Bhagavatam. Bhagavatam, serving the Vaishnavas, Krishna Katha, chanting Hare Krishna, chanting any of the holy names of Krishna. So of the three, of course, the Bhagavad Vidhi is most important. Pancharatrika Vidhi is essential because it keeps us on track. Without the Pancharatrika Vidhi, we're like trying to balance on one rail. And, you know, just, if you can do it, I mean, if you happen to be like one of these tightrope walkers who can ride a bicycle across Niagara Falls, they do that, you know. If you can do that, that's fine. But I have yet to find a devotee who can walk across Niagara Falls, you know, the Niagara Falls of material energy. You know what Niagara Falls is? That's where everyone goes on their honeymoon. So, I don't know why, just to see some water coming off of a cliff. I don't know what's romantic about that. But anyway, just to go and balance yourself, you know, tightrope walking, it takes an expert person. So most of us, you know, we need two rails to walk on. And those Bhagavad Vidhi, Pancharatrika Vidhi, extremely essential. Deity worship is extremely essential. Don't forget that. It's not that you just, because then you'll become wild and you'll fall off the tightrope. Remember that. Okay. So Haridas Thakur being the Namacharya really shocked society. There was actually a lesson Chaitanya Mahaprabhu was teaching people, that the chanting supersedes, is more important than anything else you can do. Because Haridas Thakur couldn't do anything else. I mean, he didn't actually execute deity worship. He didn't do anything except for chant the holy names. 192, at least 192 rounds a day. That's a lot, isn't it? It's not a lot. Actually, it's probably, we should chant at least 64, but because we're so fallen, we had this 16 round thing. But 16 rounds is just like when you're warming up before the game. Isn't it? It's like if you have a game, you know, like soccer or something like that, then you go and you warm up before you actually start playing. So 16 rounds is like the warm up before you actually start chanting. And you go to 64, you know, 128, and just keep going. Win the world championship, you know, the Olympics in chanting. So, anyway, I guess I'm speaking about this because Miles here, and he's into chanting. So there's other stories about how people just didn't understand their priorities. Not specifically in regard to chanting, but let's say, the residents of, Braj, they wanted to worship Indra. And Krishna said, no, the higher priority is worship Govardhan. And perhaps one of the most heart-rendering stories in the Vedic literatures is how, in the Mahabharata, how these great personalities didn't understand priorities. And what was that? What am I referring to? I'm referring to the gambling match, where the Kurus were pitted against the Pandavas, and the Pandavas were basically losing everything, at least Yudhisthira, he was losing everything. You know, he lost his kingdom, he lost his crowns, his jewelry, and finally he was starting to gamble his brothers, and he was so attached to this idea that, you know, I promised to gamble, you know, I promised this. It's not only that he was, let's say, in this gambling fever which people get into. I mean, that's also there. But he had made a promise to stay with the gambling match. So he was just so much into his promise that he did things that were adharmic in fulfilling a lesser priority. In other words, sometimes you have different dharmic things and sometimes you have to renounce certain dharmic things for a higher dharmic thing. I mean, the higher dharmic thing would be you don't gamble your brothers. I mean, Hare Krishna, to me that's a no-brainer, isn't it? And obviously, you know, if you can gamble your brothers, don't gamble your wife at least. You know, and then you have Grandfather Bhishma, who had made this promise, right, to always obey the king. He made this promise to his mother, Satyavati, to always support and obey the king. And he's sitting there, allowing things to happen, Dronas sitting there, creepers sitting there, allowing things to happen because they have this misunderstanding of higher priorities and lower priorities. So that it's extremely important to understand what's more important and what's less important, and what's less important sometimes has to be renounced. I mean, Prabhupada showed that. I mean, Prabhupada coming to America, there's a Vedic injunction. Sannyasi is not supposed to cross oceans. It's a Vedic injunction. And he's disobeying a Vedic injunction because it's less important. Or living with Malecha. I mean, Prabhupada was living with Malecha. The actual injunction is even if you see a Malecha, you're supposed to dive into the Ganges without putting on your bathing suit. You can imagine if we followed that injunction in America, how much preaching would we do? We would have to go around with a bottle of Ganges water and a spray bottle all day long. You know, every time we opened our eyes and saw someone who wasn't Krishna conscious, like that. So, you know, there's higher and lower injunctions. And someone who's Krishna conscious, like Prabhupada, he understood which injunctions are to be followed, which injunctions are not to be followed. Not to decry the lower injunctions. See, this is an important point too. It's not that we criticize the lower injunctions. They have their place for people who are not yet engaged in devotional service. Like the Vedas have their place. The Trigunya, the three modes of nature. The Vedas that deal with the three modes of nature have their place to gradually bring people up. The Vedic sacrifices have their place. Because one of the offenses on chanting is to blaspheme the Vedic literatures or literatures in pursuance of the Vedic version. So we're not criticizing any of these things. But you really have to understand what's a higher priority. And specifically, that refers, just to end class before we take questions, that refers to us in the Krishna Consciousness Movement that our first priority should be, you know, chanting the Lord's holy names. And, you know, if we get too much into other things, like even, you know, material management or building big temples, of course we have a temple here that's being built, but I'm relying on Krishna. It's not that I'm stopping my chanting or stopping my hearing Krishna Katha. My philosophy is if Krishna wants a temple, then he'll have to pay for it. But not me. I'm not paying for it. I mean, I don't have the money to pay for it. But anyway. You know, so that's because it's described that a sannyasi should not be enthusiastic about constructing temples or collecting a lot of disciples. It's the same thing. You know, if we get into these other things, oh, so many disciples do I have today, so many more I'll have tomorrow. I have conquered this disciple, you know, whatever. It's like they play the number game. You can imagine the number game. How many disciples you got? I got 200. No, I got 220. I'm a better guru than you. My guru is better than your guru. So, and it's crazy. So we have to understand the right priority of the Vedic injunctions and mainly dedicate our lives to hearing and chanting the holy names and Krishna's pastimes. This is the two most important things. And Krishna's pastimes are coming from the spiritual world as being described by the Goswamis of Vrindavan. You know, this is their personal, spiritual, realized vision. It's not coming from some cultural milieu that just because, you know, they happen to be in Vrindavan, they thought that Krishna was a coward boy. Krishna is a coward boy. And always will be. It's not that when he grows up. Of course he goes to mature. But in Vrindavan he never grows up. And so we should be absorbed in these pastimes. That's our life. That's our real life. Pastimes and the holy name. And everything else, whatever supports that, great. So, on that happy note, any questions or comments? Yeah.
I'm curious about that.
Yeah, spreading the holy names. That's our business, spreading the holy names. I mean, somehow are they getting other people to chant? That's our whole point. chanting ourselves and getting, I'm not saying we should just sit down and just hear Krishna's pastimes all day, which would be kind of nice. Kind of nice, especially when you're a GBC, you know, just thinking, when can I sit down and hear Krishna's pastimes? And all of a sudden the phone rings. Well, Maharaj, we have this other problem to deal with. Damn it! You know, sometimes I want to take a hammer to my phone, but then I realize how expensive it is. And you know, the Jewish nature takes over, you know, at that point. So basically, yes, chanting and getting other people to chant. That's what we're trying to do. We're not trying to get people to dress in a certain way. We're not trying to get people to do rituals, Vedic rituals. We're trying to get people to chant the holy names and hear Krishna's pastimes. That's really the point. On that happy note,